Praise the Lord. I want us to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 this morning. Revelation, chapter 20, 11 through 15. I want to preach a message on the subject of seconds. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may be seated. I don't believe there is anything more important for me to do than to keep folks out of hell. If I understand the Bible correctly, that is why Jesus left heaven. That is why he came to earth. That is why he lived 33 and a half years. That is why he went to Calvary. That is why he rose again. And that is what he is doing this morning, is in interceding for lost souls that they might go to heaven and not to hell. Years ago, the famous preacher J. Wilbur Chapman took a poll of people in his campaigns as to what age they were when they were first saved. He found by far the great majority of people who ever came to Christ are saved before they reach the age of 20. In fact, the majority got saved between the ages of 12 and 16 years of age. From that poll, he found that when a man passes 25, and this is many, many years ago, but he found back then that a man or a woman has one chance in 1,000 to get saved after the age of 25. After the age of 35, he has one chance in 50,000 to get saved. If a person passes 45 without Christ, he has a chance in 200,000 that he'll ever be saved. If a man passes 55 without Christ, he has one chance in 300,000 that he might be saved. Statistics went on that he polled. He said if a man passes 75 without Christ, he has a chance in 1,000,000 that he might be saved. Boy, brother, aren't you glad, Brother Wilson, that you are one of the 300 to 1,000,000. 300,000 to 1,000,000. Praise God. You can see why it is most important that we do our best to present the gospel message in order that people might stay out of hell. Now, a word about the background this morning. We're looking for the rapture of the church. The rapture is when the Lord will come back for His people, the saints of God. Amen. That trump of God shall sound. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. And that rapture is imminent. It will take place. It will happen. Hallelujah. When that 7 years transpires in heaven while we're there on the earth, it's known as the tribulation period, the great tribulation. During that time in heaven, the judgment seat, we know as the beam of judgment for the Christian, will take place. Every man will be rewarded according to his works here on earth. That is for the Christian. This is the first resurrection. Meanwhile, here on earth, the tribulation will take place, that time of suffering, time of war, time of great famine, pestilence, time of bloodshed, and that will be the 7-year period known as the Great Tribulation period. At the end of that time, Jesus will return to earth to establish His kingdom for 1,000 years. We will return with him. We'll be priests. We'll be kings. We will rule and reign with Christ during that 1,000-year reign. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years, what takes place is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. That judgment is the closing judgment of the unsaved. The title of my message this morning is simply this: Seconds. Seconds. And when we think of seconds, we think of 60 seconds in a minute on a clock. But we also think of that which takes place after the first things. When we're at a meal and we're enjoying the first round, and we ask for seconds, our plate is filled up again. That's what I want to draw your attention to this morning, is the latter definition of seconds, and that which occurs after the first things. Amen. In the first place, I call your attention to the second resurrection. The second resurrection. I want you to turn over there to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, or back there a few verses, verse 5 of Revelation 20. And keep your Bibles there in that chapter. We'll be going back to that a few times. It says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection of the saved. In verse 5, as we've read here, it says, "When those of us who are saved will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air," this is the first resurrection. Amen. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, there'll be two grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left behind. The Bible says two will be in bed. One will be taken, the other left behind. Now, after the Christians are gone, only the unsaved will be left. Those, and of course the Jews that God has ordained. Those who die in their sins will go to the grave. And it says they lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now let's suppose this morning we have a husband and a wife. The husband is saved. The wife is not. They're in an accident. They die somehow. They're both buried. The husband that is saved, his body goes to the grave. His spirit goes to be with the Lord. The man, or the wife rather, that is unsaved, her body goes to the grave, her spirit descends into hell. I do not believe the Bible teaches that there's such a thing as soul sleeping. I do not believe that a spirit sleeps in the grave until the Lord comes, whether they're saved or whether they're unsaved. We take our scripture from the book of Luke chapter 16, where the rich man died, Lazarus had died. Lazarus was ushered in Abraham's bosom, known as paradise. That was the place, the holding place, before that Christ came to set the captives free and took them to heaven. Hell was the place where the rich man went. In that place, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes in torment. He was in a flame of fire, a literal burning hell of fire. He prayed to Abraham that he would send somebody to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue, for he was tormented in that flame. That saved person, after Christ comes in the rapture, his soul will be reunited with his body, and he'll have a bodily resurrection to go in that first resurrection. Amen. That unsaved person, that wife, those that are unsaved will descend, or ascend rather, from hell. They'll be reunited with their body, and they will go in the second resurrection, which is the great white throne judgment. The saved rise before the millennium, the 1,000 years. The unsaved rise after the millennium, that 1,000-year period. Look at verses 12 and verse 13. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." Now, church, there's going to be a second resurrection. At the second resurrection, at the end of this 1,000-year period, the unsaved will rise to go to that great white throne judgment. Those included will be the drunkards, the harlots, the whoremongers, the idolaters, the adulterers, those who rejected the gospel of Christ, those that believed they knew more than God, the infidels, those that were liberals, the modernists, all the people that laughed and scoffed at the Bible and thought that hell was a myth. All of those will go to that great white throne judgment and will stand before a righteous judge. Notice the words death in hell, where it says that death and hell will deliver up the dead which were in them. Remember, at death, a man's lost soul goes to hell, his body goes to the grave. Death and hell. Death gives up the body, hell gives up the soul. That soul and body is reunited, they go to the great white throne judgment because both body and soul then are cast into the lake of fire. That is the second resurrection. Amen. Now, remember that second resurrection, Revelation 20, verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're talking about seconds this morning. I believe in a literal burning hell of fire. If we do not believe in a literal burning hell of fire, we have no reason to believe the rest of the Bible. If we do not believe in a hellfire, we don't believe in heaven. If we don't believe in hellfire, we don't believe that Jesus Christ can save us. If the Bible speaks and is literal as it is about this, then there is a definite place called hell. It is a literal place. It is a real place. It is not an imagination. It is not a myth. It's not a made-up story. There is a place called hell. We have become too modern, we've become too educated, we've become too scientific, we've tried to prove there is not such a place, but there is a place according to the Scripture of a place where the damned will go who reject Christ as Lord and Savior. Now we're talking about seconds this morning, let's talk about the second judgment. The second judgment takes place after the second resurrection. Let's look at verse 13 again. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. Hades is interpreted there, hell. And they were judged every man according to their works. This is the second judgment. The first judgment was for the Christian. That was where we receive our rewards. Hallelujah. That's where we'll receive our crowns. That's where we'll be judged according to our works. We will receive the just rewards of our works. We're not saved by works, but we work for God because we're saved. And the Lord rewards those who are faithful unto Him. That judgment we call the Bema judgment. It is the judgment of the righteous. It is the judgment where God gives to His saints those things that He bestows upon them as rewards. The second judgment is the judgment for the unrighteous, the sinner, that which has rejected Christ. From the passage we read in other scriptures, I believe there are different degrees of punishment found in the second judgment. Just as there are in the first judgment for the righteous, there are Christians who will receive greater rewards than others. There are those who have done more for God and will receive greater commendations and greater rewards just as they do. So also I believe the Bible declares that there are rewards for the unrighteous, degrees of punishment, if you will. I knew of a man who was a very moral, upright citizen. He was a great father. He was a great husband. He was a good man in the community. He was faithful. He paid his taxes. He was a law-abiding citizen. As far as cussing, drinking, you couldn't find a man any more sound as he was. Didn't do any of those things. He was a good moral man, but he did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If he had died, and thank God he got saved, but if he'd have died lost, he'd have went to a hell just as soon as that drunkard and reviler goes as well. But I believe, and I'm not minimizing hell, hell is a horrible place beyond our imagination. You cannot even begin to understand the torment that is associated with hell. But I believe there are different degrees of punishment in hell, and you can't convince me otherwise that a man who beats his wife, who abuses his children, who is a drunkard, a reviler, a whoremonger, a blasphemer, who is a murderer, murderer, a thief, who is all of these things, you can't convince me that hell's going to be somewhat hotter for him than is for the man who goes there who is a moral man. I believe there are different degrees of punishment in that place called hell. Amen. The second judgment that they go for, or they go to rather, is the place where they will receive their punishment according to the works that they have done and the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the second judgment. We're talking about seconds this morning. Now we go to the second Adam. Over there in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Over there in John 5:22, it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So Jesus Christ will one day be our judge, saved and unsaved. He'll judge the saved in the first resurrection, in the first judgment. He'll judge the unsaved in the second resurrection and in the second judgment. Christ now is our Savior. He said, he that cometh to me, in no wise will I cast out. But in that day of the second judgment, all possibility of being saved will forever be lost. Your eternity is absolutely sealed once you die. When you die, that is the finish of your chance or possibility to ever be saved. There is no chance of going to a purgatory and having somebody pray your soul out of that place. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no such Bible example or principle as praying for the dead in order that they might make it into an eternal heaven with God. If you fail to receive Christ as in this life, while you still have breath and you die, you have sealed your fate. You've sealed your destiny. There is no turning back. There is no coming back. And there's been some that have been raised from the dead. There's been some occurrences of that. I'm not speaking of that. I'm talking about the sealing of your destiny. Once you're gone, that is it. There is no second chance. Amen. The second Adam now is our Savior, but in that day He will be our judge. Amen. The story is told of a judge who was walking along the riverbank one day. While walking, he saw a young man slip and fall into the waters. And he could see that man could not swim. He took off his coat and his shoes and he jumped in and he saved his life, pulled him to safety. That young man was very grateful for this kind act towards him and forever eternally grateful for saving his life. Several months later, that same young man found himself on the other side of the law. He committed some crimes, he got into trouble, and he appeared in court, and lo and behold, he came before the same judge that had saved him several months previous. As the judge read the sentence and sentenced this young man to several years in prison, the young man stood up and said, Your Honor, don't you remember who I am? You saved me several months ago. That judge said, Young man, back then I was your Savior. Today I am your judge. Can I tell you this morning, Christ is here as a Savior. He's here as a loving Savior. Amen. With His arms wide open, waiting for you to come to Calvary. Oh, but in that day of the second judgment, amen, that second Adam Christ will be the judge. Amen. The days of opportunity will be past. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today we must be saved. Amen. Amen. We're talking about the second Adam. And then we have the second death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Go there with me to verse 14. It says, Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We have the second resurrection. We have the second judgment. We have the second Adam. Now we have the second death. Verse 12 says, The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The names will be read. Tony Smith, Jane Croswell, Mark Baynard,
Barbara Young, Hank, Shane, all the names will be read of the unsaved. They'll stand before God. In Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second judgment. This is the second Adam judging. This is the second death. There is not a place here for Christians and sinners to stand together. Amen. The sinner stands at the great white throne judgment by himself, and he is judged according to his rejection of Christ of Calvary. Amen. I know the Bible says God is love, and he is that right now. But my Bible also says that God is a consuming fire. Oh yes, he'll be in that day a consuming fire, and he will deliver the punishment due unto the sinner, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. You realize every revival this world's ever known, every true revival was founded upon the preaching of the judgment of a holy and righteous God against sin and the hatred of a sin. And it was preached about hell, fire, and brimstone. Every great revival that ever rocked this nation and others around the world were founded on that preaching of that there's a judgment day a-coming, that you better get clean with God, that you better come unto the Savior, you better get right with the Lord. Oh, yes. That preaching marked the revivals that came and influenced this nation of ours in the beginnings of its days. Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, R.A. Torrey, Gypsy Smith, George Truett, Martin Luther, John Wesley, John Huss, John Calvin, all of them realized God was a consuming fire. They preached hell, fire, and brimstone. Amen. That day, if you're don't get saved, you'll stand before a righteous judge, and he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Amen. While we're on seconds, now let me tell you about the second birth. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Amen. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Ethan Allen stood up to testify at a Christian meeting. I'm going to read you his testimony. Ethan Allen was for years an officer in the United States Army. He gave his testimony as thus. I married the girl of my dreams. We were so in love, so happy. She was a Christian. I was an infidel. I watched her go to church Sunday after Sunday. I looked at her life, listened to her prayers. I saw her Bible stained with tears. I was an infidel. I laughed at her as she walked off to church, made fun of her as she prayed. I thought she was foolish for reading the Word of God. I was an infidel. After a while, gentlemen, God gave us a baby, a precious little girl. Oh, we loved her. How we loved her. When she was an infant, her mother carried her to Sunday school every Sunday. When she was a beginner, 4, 5, 6, every Sunday she was at church. Every Sunday night, back to the Sunday night service. Every Wednesday night, to the midweek prayer service. She never missed. Every week she went with her mother. Then, said Ethan Allen, when she was 6, to church with her mother, 7, to church with her mother, 8, 9, 10, 11, to church with her mother. But when she got to about 12, I began taking her with me to the nightclubs, to the dance halls, to the high balls. She had a good time. Finally, she began to tell her mother, Mom, I don't want to go to church today. I'm too sleepy. Daddy and I stayed out so late last night. He continued, I would laugh under my breath and say, she's not going to follow that old-time religion of her mother. I'm so happy about that. Her mother would plead and beg, Honey, please go with Mother. Please go with Mother. But I would say, Honey, you stay home if you want to. So she would say no to her mother. Finally, on Sunday nights, I would take her out to the dance halls or some nightclub with me, and we'd have a big time painting the town red while Mother was at church, at the church house, weeping her eyes out because her daughter had gone into sin. He said, finally, our daughter quit going to church. She never went with her mother. She was a beautiful girl, 15, 16 years of age. We loved her dearly. Her mother was a Christian, I an infidel. She was now following Daddy's footsteps. But one night she was out with a gang of kids in a carriage. They had been swimming. She caught cold. After a while, it went into pneumonia. In those days, we didn't have penicillin and all the other cures we have now. So before long, she was at the point of death. The doctor came in and he said to me, "Mr. Allen, your girl is dying." Allen looked at those businessmen at that meeting and said, "I went in and looked at my little girl, just a teenager. Her mother had served Jesus Christ. I was an infidel. I looked at her and my daughter said to me, 'Daddy, I am dying, am I not?' I replied, 'Yes, honey, the doctor says you're going to die.' Then I began to weep. Her mother was crying, but there was not a tear in our little girl's eyes. She said, 'Daddy, I want to know one thing. All my life, mother has gone one way, and you've gone the other way. Now, Daddy, since I'm dying, I've got to know the answer. I've got to know. I love you, Daddy. I love you with all my heart. I trust you and believe what you say. Daddy, while I'm dying, should I die Mommy's way or should I die your way?' I began to cry," he said. "Then I threw my body on hers and said, 'Honey, choose Mother's way. Choose Mama's way. Choose Mommy's way. Quick, honey, choose Mommy's way.' He said, before I could get it out, she had died. He said, 'I'll never know until I stand before God if she chose Mama's way or Daddy's way. The only way you'll escape the second resurrection, the second judgment, the second Adam, the second death, is to receive the second birth. That's the only way." To the piano. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you would melt somebody's heart this morning. You knew who was going to be here to hear this message. And I pray, God, that you would open their eyes to receive Christ. Oh, God, serious matter, serious matter. We've got to know today, Lord. We've got to make a decision today, oh, God. Lord, won't you help in this altar call? In Jesus' name, Lord, calm. Oh, yes, bring a calm. Lord, remove every distraction. Oh, God, cause there to be such a reverence. As we come into this time to pray and to seek God, ain't a one of us here, Lord, that want to miss the rapture. Not a one of us here that can take a chance and miss going to heaven. Oh, God, show yourself to somebody here today. Somebody that's been playing around. Somebody that's been trivializing the things of God. Lord, won't you bring them to Calvary today? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Saints are praying. Oh, my God. Spirit of the Lord, move on somebody's heart. Somebody needs Christ. Somebody needs a Savior. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You need Christ today. You need the Lord today. If I were you, I wouldn't hesitate anymore. I'd jump out of my seat and make my way to this altar and say, "I need God." Is your children going to go Daddy's way or Mama's way? Oh, God. I'd come right now if I were you. While the Spirit of God is moving, I'd make my way to an altar prayer. I'd make my peace with God. Oh, yeah. Somebody else, jump out of your seat right now. You need to pray. You need to get a hold of a Savior. Ain't no sense playing church. No sense playing around with the things of God. You could go into a lost eternity today, even while sitting in a church pew. if you don't know Christ. Oh, God, there is a judgment day coming. Is it really worth the pleasure you're having now for a season? Is it really worth the fun and the frolic that you're enjoying now to go to a devil's hell? Preacher, don't preach to me about hell. I don't believe it. You'll believe it one day when you wake up in a lost eternity without God, and you'll wish a million times you'd listen. You'd listen. On the 8th of February, 2004, you had an opportunity to know Christ. You passed it up. Oh, God. I have not the vocabulary to paint you a picture of what hell's really like. And all I can tell you is what the Bible says. It is a place of gnashing of teeth. It is a place of torment. And the only escape from it is the second birth. Daddy, I've got to know right now, should I go Mama's way or should I go Daddy's way? And Alan cried, go Mama's way. Go the way of your mother. Some of you need to make a real concrete decision right now which way you're going to go. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What about you? Is there another? You just jump up out of your seat and make your way to this altar. You say, but Pastor, I believe I'm saved. Yeah, but the Lord's dealing with you about some things you've been trivialing with. God's been dealing with you about some things you need to make right. I'd say you better take care of that. Take care of business this morning while the Spirit of God is moving. Take care of those things you know you ought not to be a-doing. Get it under the blood of the Calvary. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling this morning. Come home. Come home. Come home. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're battling this morning. I can see it. I feel it. But the battle can be over in just a matter of minutes if you'll surrender to Christ. Oh, God. Penetrate, Holy Ghost. Penetrate, Holy Ghost. Oh, that battle can be over. You'll just surrender. Say, Lord, here I am. It's me in the need of prayer. Here I am, Lord. I've got to have help. Can't go on like this. I can't face life like this. Remember, we're talking about judgment. We're talking about eternity without God. Cast into a lake of fire. That's not enough to motivate you to come to Christ. I don't know what is. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, says this morning, come. That second Adam, Christ, who is the Savior this morning, says, won't you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden? I will give you rest. There's a judgment day coming. Are you ready to meet God? Husband, are you ready to meet God? Wife, are you ready? Child, are you ready? Teenager, are you ready? Life is a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. We're not promised another hour of life. Are you ready to meet God? Somebody come pray here with Brother Steve. I'm still pulling for saints to come pray. I'm pulling for sinners. Pulling for somebody to respond this morning. Listen, we don't have time to play around here. This is a serious matter. This is a serious time. Time is running out. Time is quickly evading us. While there's still time, make up your mind. Make it up, make it up. Oh God, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. If you only knew His plan for you, you wouldn't wait nor hesitate while there's still time. Hallelujah. While there's still time, make up your mind. Oh, pray, church, pray, pray, pray. Pray, get a hold of God.
While there's still time,
oh, make up your mind.
Make up your mind.
I'm gonna serve the Lord. I'm gonna serve the Lord.
You wouldn't be happy living on the borderline if you only knew. Or hesitate, there's still time. What's still a time? Make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline if you only knew His plans for you. You wouldn't wait or hesitate. There's still time. And tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinners, come home. Oh, sinner, come home. Come home. Come home. Ye who are willing. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, come home, come home, home. Ye who are weary, calling, calling for sinners, come home. Come home. is calling all sinners come thank you.